Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Yud Aleph in Maseches Sukkah. It is the 570th daf in Shas. We're going to pick up right on the top of Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, where we had left off. The Gemara is going to continue discussing the halachos of a bed under a canopy that we learned in our Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Amud Aleph, that if it's under a canopy that's a four-posted bed, then the halacha is then it is possible to sleep under such a thing because it is considered as if you're sleeping under an ohel. The Gemara will continue analyzing that halacha from the perspective of the Amorayim that we had discussed yesterday on Yud Amud Beis, and that will take us to some more halachas vis-a-vis ohel, and ultimately to a new Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph that we had made reference to already in yesterday's daf, and that is the Mishnah of Hidla Alea Es HaGefen, and that is Schach, that is Mechuber, Lekarka, cannot be used for Schach. It is going to be possible. If it's cut off, then it's going to be kosher. The Gemara will tell us some of the halachos of the appropriate way of cutting it off from the ground and shaking it a little before you put it onto the sukkah. The Gemara then on Yud Aleph Amud Beis will introduce us to the psul of Tasa Velo Min HaAsui, which in one sentence means that one needs to make the schach, place the schach on top of the sukkah, and simply having it there is going to be considered asui, and the pasuk says Chag HaSukkos Tasa Lecha. The Gemara then will discuss that and relate that to the halachas of lulav as well, where according to some opinions, there is a mitzvah to make the eged of the lulav, the binding of the lulav with the other minim. That will take us through to the mitzvah of Hisnoi Lefanav Mitzvahs, Hidr Mitzvah, and that will bring us towards the bottom of Yud Aleph on the base. So let's Bezer Hashem pick up on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara was in the middle of a discussion where the Gemara had said that if a person reads Kriyishma in a tent or under a canopy that is less than 10 tfachim above him, so then in such a case he does not have the problem of reading Kriyishma if he's not dressed with libo roa es ha'erva by sticking his head out of the canopy or the tent. So then in such a case, his head is in another reshus. However, says the Gemara on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Ubayis Nami, when it comes to a house, Afal Pi Shein Gvo Asara, even if the distance between the ceiling and the ground is less than 10 tfachim, and there you might think that by sticking his head outside would be the same thing like when it comes to sticking his head outside of the kila, and there it would not be a problem of Libo roa se'erva, kivan de kaviya ola, but when it comes to a house, since it's an ola kavua, so then his head is nigrar after his body, de lo gara mikinofos, it will be no worse than when it comes to the posted bed, that if it's kavua, then even if it's less than 10 tfachim, it's going to be a problem vis-a-vis ol. And sukkah, it's going to be considered as if you're in a separate ohel. So too will be considered as if you are in a separate bayis. And if you're in a separate bayis, your head is nigrar after your body. Lishna achrina, another lashon, continues the Gemara. When it comes to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, there Rav Yehuda reports Shmuel is saying a different thing that we had learned yesterday that Rav Tachlifa had said, eight lines from the bottom on Yud Amud Beis. There, the halacha was quoted, Rav Tachlifa had said in the name of Shmuel, Hayosham bikilas arum, motzi rosha chutz lekila v'kara kriyashma. That if someone is not wearing clothing, he could stick his head out. There it was spoken about specifically in regards to a kila, but nothing more particular than that. However, this tradition has Shmuel talking about a very specific kila. Lishnachrina amri la, Amar of Yehuda Meshmol, Mutar Lishon Bikilas Chasanim, you're allowed to sleep in a Kilas Chasanim B'Sukkah when it comes to a Sukkah. A Kilas Chasanim is, as we've discussed before, a bed that has a curtain draped over it, but it's draped as a slope, and it doesn't have a gag. L'fi she'ein lo gag. Because it does not have a roof, because it's sloped like a teepee on either side, in your Oz V'Hadar editions, it will be the first diagram on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Afal Pishe Gvo Asara, even though it's 10 Tvachim high, it's not a problem because it doesn't have a roof. Mesive, we learned, Hayashim Bikila Besukal Yotzi De Chavasa. Didn't we learn that the halach is that you're not Yotze, you're Chiyuv? That's where there's a roof. In other words, it's not that sloped on either side, but it is laid down horizontally. Tashma, come here, I'll bring you a proof. Here again, Tashma is used as a kasha. Naklitin shnayim v'kinofos arba. That naklite amita refers to a bed that's supported by two boards that create the curtain. Hence, in that case, the curtain is only sloping down on two sides and is not laying horizontal. V'kinofos arba, but when it comes to kinof, that is four boards that are supporting the curtain, and then it's laying horizontal. Pirus agabi kinofos psula, if it's on the four boards, it's possible. Agabi nekliting sheira, but nekliting's kashu, bevach lo yu nekliting gevo min amita asar tfachim. The condition is that the nekliting can't be 10 tfachim above the bed. What does it seem? Hagvo min amita asar psula afal bishen lo gag, that even if it's 10 tfachim above the bed, it's going to be possible, despite the fact that it does not have a roof. And the reason it's going to be possible is because anything that's raised above the bed, 10 tfachim automatically is possible. That seems to be against this version of Shmuel, that it said that you're allowed to sleep under the kilas hachasanim, which seems to be very, very similar to naklite hamita, even if it's above 10 tfachim. Answers the Gemara, you saw that we mentioned already earlier. Shani naklitin de kavir. The difference between naklite amita and kilas chasanim is that naklite amita is built in a way that it is permanent. It seems that the kilas chasanim, particularly maybe even this expression, chasanim, that it's for people who are grooms, is that it was something that was put up for that interim period. However, naklite amita is not something that's put up for an interim period, it's put up for an extended period of time. So since it's kavi, then in such a case it'll be puzzle even though it's not a full-fledged roof. Asks the Gemara, if you're going to say that's kavi, I kavi lahavi kiki naifas, it should be considered like the four-posted bed. And therefore, it should be puzzle whether it's 10 tfachim above or not. Answers the Gemara, lagabi ki naifas like kavi. Lagabi ki la kavi, it's in between. It's not as kavua as kinofos, as the four-posted bed, but at the same time, as compared to kilas chasanim, it is kavli, and therefore kavua. And therefore, the halacha would be that if it's 10 tfachim above, it will be pasul. Less than 10 tfachim, it will be kosher. Gemara continues, Darish Rabba Bar Rav Huna, mutalishan bikila, a person is allowed to sleep inside of this kila, in the kilas chasanim, afal bishyesh lo gag, even though it has a roof, afal bishyesh gvo asara, even if it's 10 tfachim high. Kiman, who is that follow? L'chura, we said that if it's above 10 tfachim, it's going to be a problem. And if it has a roof, it'll be a problem even if it's less than 10 tfachim. This is a big, big chiddush of Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So the Gemara finds a Tana that supports Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Ki Reb Yehuda, the Amar Reb Yehuda says, Loi osi oyel arai umevatel oyel keva. That if you have an oyel arai, then that doesn't come along and make it as if you're no longer sitting in an oyel keva. So the sitting under the kila, or sleeping under it, is going to be permissible, and it's going to be still considered as if you're inside of the sukkah. Disnan, the proof is the following. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Noiganayinu lishon tachas amita b'fnei hazakenim. We used to sleep under the bed when the zakenim used to come. The mita vis-a-vis the sukkah is considered an ohel arai, Rashi explains, because they move it from place to place. So what do we see from here? That as long as the kila is something that's temporary and there's something that's more kavua, so then in such a case, it'll be acceptable to sleep under that. Says the Gemara, great, you got a raya, but your raya, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, is so strong, then you could have formulated it differently. V'leim halacha Rabbi Yehuda, why didn't Rabba Bar Rav Huna say that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? I'll tell you what Rabbi Yehuda used to say about sleeping under a bed, that it's okay. Says the Gemara, Iyamar halacha Rabbi Yehuda, if you would have formulated that way, have a mean, I would have thought, hani mili mita, when do we say it's considered as if it's arai and you're allowed to sleep under it? because it's a bed, that's what Rabbi Yehuda was describing, that the bed anyhow is not made to be an oel. The bed was, it happens to hover over the ground, and there's space between the ground and the bed to sleep under it, but the bed was made for above it. It wasn't made to be an oel. Aval kila de l'tolcha asleep, but when it comes to the kila that was made for the inside, it was made to be an oel, ema lo. Then I would think that would be considered a hefsek, and we wouldn't say that it's an oel arai inside an oel keva and not significant. Kamash malan. So the chiddush over here is time of the Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda's rationale is the following: the lo asi oel arai mumavatel oel keva. That we have this general rule, not just in regards to a bed, that any oel arai is not significant vis-a-vis an oel keva. Lo shna mita velo shna kila. Doesn't make a difference whether it's a mita or a kila. We begin Beizr Hashem, a new Mishnah, halfway through Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Hidlo ales hagefen, v'sadlas v'sakisim, v'sigrei chal gaba. These are different vines that are growing from the ground, and they're still attached to the ground. If you put them on top of a sukkah, it is possible, because Rashi explains, here Rashi gives us a very important formulation, Dibar Maskel Psula, Shei Mesachichin B'mechubar, you can't make schach with something that's attached to the ground. The Amar Mar, because the Gemara will have later on, Yubayz on Yubayz, Ba'asbecha Migarncha Umiyikvecha. The Chazal say that the mitzvah sukkah is when you gather in the fruits and the branches and the wine, everything. B'psoles Gorn V'yekiv HaKosam Medaber. We're talking about the leftover, the psoles, and that means that something that is left over from it and cut off from the ground. So that's going to be possible. Hidlo HaSagevin is going to be possible. M'hayisiku Harbiman. But if you evoke, according to many Rishonim, the rule of Rov, Rashi again here repeats the concept of Rov. Achronim spend a lot of time in it, which we don't do when we are learning the Daf Yomi, but Rashi also mentioned Rov on Tesama base, that if you have Schach Posel mixed with Schach Kosher, so then in such a case we have the concept of Bittel Berov. Rashi mentions the Dibra Maskel B'Shechavtan. Here too again, Rashi says that it's based on the concept of Rov. The majority of Schach is Schach Kosher, it nullifies the Schach Posel. Oh, Shekatzitzan, another way of making it Kosher is if you put these vines that were attached to the ground on top of the sukkah, and then you cut them off, it's going to be kosher. Our Gemara will discuss that it could very well be that you need to move the vines as well, lift them up and put them back down, for reasons that we will get to, Be'ezer Hashem and our Gemara. Our Mishnah summarized, Zeh Klal, this is a rule, Kol Shum Mekabel Tuma Ve'en Gidula Min Ha'aretz, if something is, and these are the very, very important rule in Hilchos Schach, anything that is Mekabel Tuma and grows from the ground, Mekabel Tumah does not grow from the ground. Ein Mesachichin Bo. For example, metal, that can't be used for Schach. V'chol Dover She'ein Mekabel Tumah, an object that is not Mekabel Tumah because it's not a Kli. V'gidula Min Ha'aretz, and it came from the ground. Mesachichin Bo. So the two criterion that you need for Schach. Number one is that it can't be a utensil that's Mekabel Tumah. And number two, it has to have been grown from the ground. The Gemara begins, Yosef Rav Yosef Kamed Rav Yun of Yosef Kamer. Oisha Katsasan Kshei Rav, the Omar Rav. Rav adds a very important rule. Tsarich Linaneya. You do need to shake the Schach. And the Gemara will explain shortly on Amud Beis that if you don't do it, then it's a problem of Taseh Velo Minha Osui. The Rashi spells out over here in Dibra Maskel V'Yosef, about halfway through the Rashi, that we learn from the Pasuk, Sukos Tase Lecha, Rashi says, Kishata Oisa Oisa, when you make it, Tehei Ruya L'Sukah. At that moment, it should be Ra'ui L'Sukah, it should be already usable as a Sukah. V'lo Minha Asui B'Psul. Shein Roy L'Sukah. Not to make it, at the moment that you made it, it was possible. Va'ata Misakno, and then you do something betikin muet with a small tikkun, for example, cutting the gefen from the ground, that would be a problem of asui demachshula biktsitsa. And Nuah explains Rashi, shaking the schach is enough to be considered as if you're building it from new. Now the way this was presented was Rav Huna was talking in front of Rav Yosef and reporting this in the name of Rav. Amalei Rav Huna responded to Rav Yosef, Hashmuel Amra. This teaching we already know from Shmuel. Rav Yosef got upset at Rav Huna. Adrinu Rav Yosef lape. And Rav Yosef turned away from him. He had quoted the name of the Rav. And he said, what are you telling me? Shmuel? Why do you have to correct me and say Shmuel already said it? Did I say that Shmuel not said it? Amra Rav, v'amra Shmuel. Rav said it and Shmuel said it. What's the problem, says Rav Yosef to Rav Huna? Why are you telling me that Shmuel already said it? So both of them taught it. Amar le Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, no, I was telling you that I don't think that Rav said such a thing. Hachi kamin alcha. This is what I was telling to you. To Shmuel amra velo Rav, that Shmuel had taught this teaching and not Rav. To Rav achshurei machshir, because Rav actually held that there was no problem with Tassim Lamas Mina Asri. Kid Hod de Rav Amram Chasida, like Rav Amram Chasida taught. The expression Chasida is very interesting. In Kedushin, on Daf Pei Aleph, the Gemara describes Rav Amram Chasida as almost being Nichshal in an Avera. And it could very well be that for that reason, he was referred to as Rav Amram Chasida because he was able to be Miskaber on not being Nichshal in that Avera. Either way, Rav Amram Chasida taught that the halacha is that one needs to be machmir on tzitzis on a four-porner beged for one's wife as well. Because Rama Tachlata, he hung tzitzis l'parzuma d'inshe besa on the begadim of his wife. Here the tzitzis is referred to as tcheles. However, it was a very, very interesting set of tzitzis. Talon, he hung one long chut and folded it over four times, v'lo pasak rashi chutin, and he never separated the strings. As you can take a look in your Oz V'Hadar diagram, tziur dalid from this amud, that it was one long thread that was folded over four times. Rav taught that just cut them, it'll be kosher. Neville, despite the fact that there is the same expression when it comes to tzitzis that says gdilim tasilicha, and here it was put on, the asiyah was b'psul, it must be because Rav held there is no problem of tasiv alomina asui when it comes to making of the tzitzis. Or, in more precise terms, simply cutting it from the ground is enough to be considered an asiyah. That simply cutting it is enough for it to be considered a asiya. Hachanami here too, according to Rav, he holds of the drasha of tasilicha, but he would say that cutting the gefen off would be enough of an asiyah. Hachanami k'tzisasan zu asiyasan. Simply cutting it off from the ground would be enough, and therefore it's not accurate, Rav Huna claims, to say that Rav would be of the opinion that you need to shake the schach. Says the Gemara, five lines from the bottom, V'atani Shmuel mishum Rabbi Chiya, but didn't Shmuel quote from Rabbi Chiya, hitil shnei kronos, bebas achas. Here take a look at Siur Hey in the Oz V'Hadar Gemaras. He takes four chutim, and he puts them into two corners of tzitzis. In other words, your tzitzis has four corners, your beged, and he puts two corners next to each other. For example, he took the two corners on the right side, one that normally sits in back and that sits in front, and he put them next to each other, and he put four strings of tzitzis through. And if then afterwards he separates, it's kosher. It could very well be that he had already even made the tzitzis entirely. The only problem was they were all attached to each other, and then he cut off, and that's enough because k'sisasan zu'achshirasan, says the Gemara. Lo, that's not correct. Sheposek v'achakach kosher. He was posek, and then he tied it together, says the Gemara. Posek v'achakach kosher maila memra. If he was posek and then he tied, that's a davar pashut. What's the chiddush? Maldusena, says the Gemara, be'inan knaf b'shas psil. I might think that the moment that you tie it on, then there it has to be on knaf echad, explains Rashi, and not on two corners. And here it is attached to two corners. Kamash mela, no. It needs to be that it's al knaf echad when you tie it together. Meisive, says the Gemara, I'll ask you a following kasha. On the sheet of Rav that says, Psikasan zu asiyasan,
talon if he hangs the tzitzis. V'lo pasuk rosh echutin shelen, and he doesn't separate them psulim. There is going to be pasul. My love, doesn't it sound like psulim la'olam? That's pasul forever, and even when you cut it, you're going to have a problem of tasib v'lo min ha'asui, v'tiyufta de rav, and it will be a kasha rav, and because rav seemed to say psikoson, zuhi asiyason, and over here it says it's pasul la'olam, even if you separate them. Amlecha rav, rav will say, no, my psulim psulim ad shiyivsiku, no, it's only pasul until you separate them. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel disagrees, you say, take a look, daf in the halacha, that we paskin like Shmuel, you have the Ein Mishpat on the side, u Shmuel Amar, psulim la'olam. Shmuel disagrees, and says that the tliya itself has to be bekashrus, because the ktsitsa is not considered anasiya. We paskin this way, both in regards to tzitzis, as well as regards to tzchach. V'chein amar Levi, psun la'olam. Levi also says that's pasul la'olam. V'chein amar of masna, amar Shmuel, psun la'olam. And that the majority of opinions are that it's pasul la'olam. Ikud amri amar masna, bididi havi uvda. It happened to me. V'asoy the kamei demar Shmuel, v'amri psun la'olam. And Shmuel taught me that it's going to be pasul forever. The Gemara continues the onslaught on this position of Rav with another kasha. Mesive. Talon v'acha kach pasach rosh echut shalom psulim. We learned that if you only do the cutting after the tzitzis have been put on, that's not considered asiya, and it is pasos. A problem with gedilim tasacha. V'otanya, another kasha, gabi suk in regards to sukkah tasu v'amin ha'asu, mikan amru, hidu ales gef mesadlas v'sakisum. If you use, excuse me, it's not kisum, it's kisus. Hidu ales gef mesadlas v'sakisus. If you hung these vines that were mechubel karka on top of the sukkah, v'sikeh chalgaba, psula. Then it's possible. Hey, chidami. What exactly are we talking about? Ilayim mishalo kitzitzan, if we're going to say that they weren't cut from the ground. Ma yirim mishum tassel lo min ha'asui. It's not only a problem tassel min ha'asui. Tepik lay di mechubarin yinu. The psula is greater. It's a psul mechubar. Ela b'shikatzan uktani psula. It must be talking about where it was cut. Nevertheless, it is possible. Ushmamina, and what we hear from here is the law meaning tzisasan suyesiasan, that we don't consider the cutting off as if you made it. Utayufta de rav, and it's a bomb kasha on rav, that we see that tzitz is not considered a siya. Amalecha rav, the Gemara says, despite the bomb, rav will defend himself. Hachamayskin de shalfinu shilfi de lo minkura. He cut it off in a way, it's not obvious that he was ever separating it from the tree. So then, if it's not obvious, so then in such a case, lo minkara asiya didu, it wasn't asiya that's obvious. In contrast to if you do a tzitza and you obviously remove it from the ground, so then in such a case, maybe then, Rav argues that it would be considered an asiya. Says the Gemara, mikol makom talon v'acha kach pasak kasha l'rav. But nevertheless, in regards to tzitzis, it's a bomb kasha. That since we see tal v'acha kach pasach is not considered a significant asiya, even though it's minkar, so we see that it is a kasha on the sheet of Rav. Kasha l'Rav. Kasha. That's a strong kasha. Says the Gemara, lema kitanoi. Let us show that we have a machlokis tanoim. Whether the tzitzis is considered a valid asiya or not, in regards to hadasim, if there are too many berries, we're going to learn later on in daf lamed gimel, if avar velikdon, if the individual took off the berries on Yom Tov, which the Gemara says is aser midrabanan, so then in such a case, pasul, the halacha is the hadasim are pasul, and since he was over al divrei chachamim, by taking hadasim that needed its berries to be removed to be able to use it for the hadas, but at the same time it was over tiku midra mone, midra banan, Rabbi Shimon says that the Rabbanan said that it is possible now to use, even despite his attempt to be machshuit. The Chacham machshuit and the Chacham say it's kosher. Savrua, we thought originally, what's this machlokes between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yod Tzadok versus the Chacham? Rav Shim Bar Yod Tzadok says pasul. Chacham says kosher. Savrua de kuli alma lulav tzarech eged, that everybody holds that the lulav needs to be bound together. V'yalfinon lulav misukah, and that's a chelik of the mitzvah of lulav is binding it together. And we learn that out from sukkah. The chsiv gabi sukkah tasev lo min asui, just like it says the sukkah that you need to actively make the sukkah and not that you put the sukkah together was still possible, and then memela became kosher, but it needs an act of maisa bekashrus, and the same would apply for lulav. And my lav ba'al comes like maybe the machlos between Rabbi Shimon Yotzalik, if you removed that dasman yom, that revolves around the following: demand the machshir according to the chachamim, savar amrin gabe sukkah kisasun zuasi yasan gabe lulav nami amrin lekitasun zuasi yasan, that he did an act of lekita, that he did an act of cutting to make the lulav kosher by removing the hadasim, and therefore it's considered as if he did a maisa asiya, just like there's a maisa asiya that's necessary for sukkah. So to lulav, because lulav tzarech eged, so over here he took something that was possible and he did an act of maisa by cutting it off. Uman de pasul, and according to Rabbi Shimon Meir Tzadok, who says pasul savar lo amrin gabe sukkah tzasun zuasi yasan, he holds like the opinion that Rav Huna that we had mentioned above, that the halacha is that by simply separating something, that's not considered as if you did an act of asiyah, and therefore it'll be a problem when it comes to sukkah of tasev v'lo mina asui. It wouldn't be considered a full asiyah, it would be considered as if it was memela asui, and it would be a problem. V'gabi lulav nami lo amrin l'kitasan zuasi yasan. So too, when it comes to lulav, simply taking the hadasim which were puzzle and remove the berries and removing them, the blueberries made these hadasim puzzle, or whatever type of berries they were, they made the hadasim puzzle. So then l'kita might serve as making it kosher. That's not enough, because if we're going to assume lulav tzarech eged, it needs an active asiyah, and the position is, as we saw from Ravuna, that simply cutting off would not be acceptable. Maybe that's the machlokis. Lo, says the Gemara. Dekule alma, lo amrin gabe sukkah tzisasin ziyasiyasin. We're going to assume, as per the position of Shmuel and Ravuna, that when it comes to sukkah, cutting off is not considered asiyah. V'hacha, but then what's the issue by the hadasim? B'meiliv lulav misukkah kam niflugi. Maybe what's behind their machlokis is whether you learn out the halachos of lulav from sukkah. Madim machshir, the one who says it's kosher, savar lo yafin lulav misukkah. He says that you don't learn out the halachos of lulav misukkah. What type of halachos? The halacha of tasev ilona min asui. That maybe only when it comes to sukkah, where it says chag sukkah tasev lecha. So then, when it comes to lulav, even though it's asui, asui is not a problem. Uman de pasul savar yafin lulav misukkah. While Reb Shimon Yotzadok says that we learn lulav from sukkah. Yibai is saying, if you want, I give you another pshat. Is firulan de lulav tzarech eged, kule amalol pligid yafin lulav misukkah. If we're going to assume lulav needs eged, like we alluded to before, then it would seem that just like there's an inyan of asiya when it comes to sukkah, the same in regards to lulav. And then in such a case, then Tzitzasan, simply cutting off the berries would not be enough for it to be considered asiya. What's machlokes between Reb Shimon ben Yotzadok and the Chachamim? Mar Savar, the Reb Shimon ben Yotzadok called Sarach Eged, and therefore the halach is that you have a problem with Tasev Elom and Asui when it comes to cutting off the berries. Mar Savar ain't Sarach Eged, and the other Manomer holds that you don't need to tie it together. That issue of whether you need to tie it together revolves around another issue, says the Gemara. Two lines before the why do a pluksa tani tanoi. And this is a machlokas tanoi. The sign we learned in a braisa lulav, bein agud, bein shein agud kosher, is the tying together, the binding together of the hadasim haravos and the lulav. Is that ma'akev when it comes to lulav? Tanakama says no, that it's kosher, even if you didn't do it. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, agud kosher shein agud posel. Rabbi Yehuda says that they need to be bound together. Gemara continues and gives us the rationale for Rabbi Yehuda on the first wide line on Yud Aleph Beis. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's rationale? Yalif l'kicha l'kicha me'egudas ezov. We learn out Xerah Shava of l'kicha l'kicha. We know that it says by lulav, u'lekachtem lachem b'yom harishon, and it also says in regards to the Parah Aduma, where you use agudas ezov to sprinkle from the Parah Aduma, although in this case, the agudas ezov is from the carbon pesach, to sprinkle the dam of the carbon pesach, ulekachtem agudas ezov. There it says ulekachtem agudas ezov. Ksiv hacha ulekachtem biyom rishon ma lahalon ba'aguda afkan ba'aguda. Just like over there, it has to be done with an aguda. So too over here, it has to be done with aguda. And that's the halacha of lulav tzarech eged. If that would be so, so then in such a case, there's an active requirement to do asiyas ha'eged. If there's an active requirement to do asiyas ha'eged, then you will have prav tasev lo min asui. Hence, Reb Shimon ben Yotzadok is going to say, avir v'likten is going to be possible because of tasev lo min asui. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan disagree, say there isn't a requirement of eged like there was in terms of binding the hyssop, that's the azov, for the sprinkling of the blood of the carbon Pesach, Rabban lekicha lekicha lo yalfinan. Even though there's a chiyuv there to bind it together, by lulav there isn't. Period. Now the Gemara adds something quite interesting. Now that we've begun to discuss halachos of lulav tzarech eged, we now leave the discussion of tasev lo mina asui, and we begin to discuss in the next couple of lines, as our daf concludes, the Gemara begins to discuss the halachos of lulav tzarech eged and gives us a very important source, and it is even today, the daf and the halacha, even today, one of the important sources of why we bind together the lulav, hadas, and the arava. Kimana azaha desanya. Says the Gemara four lines in on Yud Aleph on the base, into the wide. Who does this opinion follow? Lulav mitzvah la'agda. Notice, up until now we discussed of whether there is a chiyuv to do the eged. Not mitzvah la'agda. Up until now we've been discussing tzarech la'agda. If it's ma'akev. Now we discuss whether there's a kiyum mitzvah and binding it together. Vim la'agda, but if you don't do it, kosher. E Rabbi Yehuda, if you can say it's Rabbi Yehuda, ki la'agda, my kosher. According to Rabbi Yehuda, learns out l'kicha l'kicha, just like the definition of the ezov, is it has to be an aguda, and we learn out from the ulekachtam agudas ezov, the same halacha applies to ulev, ulekachtam l'chem b'yom rishon, and therefore the halacha should be that you should need to bind together the lulav, and if you don't, it will be ma'akev, just like for the Aguda Seizov, it was ma'akev, so it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. E Rabbanan, and if you're going to say it's following the Rabbanan that say lulav lo tzarech egod, amai mitzvah. Why is it a mitzvah? We don't learn out l'kicha l'kicha, so there's no source at all to tell us that there is a commandment to do it. Says the Gemara, lo'olam rabbonani. Really, we're following the Rabbanan. U'mishum shenemar, because it says in the Halig Pasuk, ze keli van veu, in the Shiras Hayom, Klal Yisrael, this said, this is my God, and I will adorn him. And what does that mean? How do you adorn HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So actually, in the Gemara in Shabbos, there are two opinions. Here in the Gemara in Sukkah, on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara quotes one of them. Hisnoe lefanav b'mitzvos. You're supposed to beautify HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the mitzvos. In other words, Chazal understand to adorn HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the mitzvos by making the mitzvos beautiful. If your lulav is not tied together, Chazal told us, even according to Rabbanan, you're missing the hidur mitzvah of hisnoe, the fun of the mitzvos. Hence, that is the chiv as well, halacha for today, that we bind our lulav together to be mekayim hisnoe, the fun of mitzvos. That's one of the hidure mitzvah of the Dalin Minim. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes Daf Yud Aleph in Masechah Sukkah. I hope Be'ezer Hashem to post as well, it's been a while, the halacha from the daily daf as well. And Be'ezer Hashem, we go into Shabbos Parshas Kisisa, going into Daf Yud Beis. And Be'ezer Hashem, I'm looking forward to resume with you on Daf Yud Gimel in this most beautiful Masechah Sukkah. Wishing you a Shabbos of Menucha and Kedusha.